the only time is, you're not actually receiving it. It's held. It's held, it grows with interest, and when you leave, you get it.
All right. Well, everybody's here. Is Rose coming today, or?
No.
So this is just a quick emergency meeting with Doug to present experience evaluation. Doug, the floor is yours.
All right. Actually, I'm going to present half, and that's evaluation. And here's, I'm going to blame technology, which I've never had to blame before. We operate on a calendar of work that's hooked up to our Outlook email. And I look at it religiously every day, every week, to see what's coming up. And I thought, oh, today's wide open, until last night my phone starts telling me there's a meeting. Well, Alicia, being very efficient, had sent the request long ago in February, and I accepted. Our IT folks didn't link that to our calendar. So I still am going to be here in 2 weeks for the experience day. I had my calendar to be here May 8th, and I'm still going to be. So I'm here today to, you're going to basically break it up into two. I'm going to go over the evaluation today, tell you what the city's funding requirements are going to be next year, what the experience was. And then 2 weeks from now, I'll give you the experience day. And actually, that probably works out fairly well, and one of the reasons being, you know how these plans now have to use the Florida Retirement System mortality? And anytime it changes, you have to link to it. They just changed it again. And we just got the new assumptions within the last few weeks. So we're beginning to run those studies for our clients that are having experience studies done. So I will now be able to incorporate that in the experience study to tell you that when we do the next valuation, we have to change the mortality again, and here's the impact.
So where did they move the age up to?
The assumption is about this long, just in reading it. It's very complex. Here's what I think happened. Nobody cared about the Florida Retirement System mortality until the legislators told everybody in the state, you have to care about it, you have to use it. So all the actuaries in the state started running the numbers, and we came across strange results. If you assume people live longer, then you should expect that the pre-retirement death benefits for active employees goes down, right?
Right.
It went up. It doubled. It went in the right direction for everything else. For retirees, it went up because, oh, you're going to live an extra 5 years or so. But for active employees, it went up. And I think what happened is that feedback got to the actuary who does the Florida Retirement System, and now they've tweaked it. So I think this is a tweak. I think this is a fix. I don't know if the cost will go up or down in total. I don't think it's going to be big either way. I think the big hit is what I'm about to show you in this report. So it's an adjustment. But we have to go through the state to try and get all of those rates. They're huge tables. And we just got those in the last few weeks. So I'll be able to give you that result when I'm back here in 2 weeks.
So that, this is me beating up on you now, because, you know, I think sometimes, pardon my language, but you drag ass at giving us our numbers. I've already implemented that our normal meeting, I'm going to implement report cards on everybody. We're going to do evaluation reports on all of our managers, our consultant, our actuary, of how they are performing. I figured that's an important thing. As us, looking at, you know, our fiduciary responsibilities to the plan, are we getting stuff in a timely manner? I mean, and Lee's going to get beat up, too, because if he doesn't respond to Lisa in a timely manner, I've got to call him, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, I get tired of being the bad guy, but, you know, it's like, so my question to you is, okay, so you want to give us the valuation, but the experience study, you know, because the numbers change, but theoretically, you should have had this done already. So, I mean, I can understand you say, hey, I've got all your numbers, but now that the numbers changed, I'm going to recalculate and give them back to you with the newer numbers. But
yeah.
I'm telling you, it's coming down the line. We're going to start running a report card on your company,
sure.
Only because I know that years ago, you had to beg Alicia because she had problems up in finance getting the numbers. But I know she's kicking you the numbers as you're asking for them. Because I'd ask you to do a reverse evaluation if we're not giving you what you need,
yeah.
Why you're not looking so good. But I'm just telling you, it's coming down the line that we're going to start this process, because I think we owe it to the plan itself, that we are diligent at looking at who we're using, that we're getting our fair shape, our fair value of what we're paying, and it's in a timely manner.
I was waiting for you to, in that list, to say, and the trustees.
Well, you know, so if I didn't see participation, I'd probably jump on you. And I mean, even when Anthony started, I would pose a question directly to him to let him know. It's like, you're part of the group. I mean, you know, so, I mean, I try to do my best as the chair to keep everybody involved, to make sure that we're all in the know. As far as what schools you choose to go to, that's you. I do remind you all that, you know, you have to keep doing this advanced, you know, education piece, that at least once a year you should do something. And I told you, I don't look for the certifications, but I look for how, you know, our money managers or our consultants or anybody is, you know, what their mindset is. And that's a different way to get this extra education. I know that Pat Gilligan is going to be giving a class next month, and you know, it's like you're almost required to go to that one because of what we do here is, you know, public record type stuff that he likes to go through. That, and it's not every year, it's every couple years.
Yeah,
but what we do and what we're responsible for, I mean, it's like we started talking about one particular guy and we weren't recording. I mean, theoretically we should have stopped that immediately when all of us were here. So, you know, those are parts of the rules. I mean, it's kind of okay what we were discussing, you know, because we were really talking about the logistics of how the plan, but when we do that as a group, it should be recorded. So those are parts of the Sunshine Act that we should be, you know, cognizant to. But yeah, it's like I've decided that, you know, we have to have a board, you know, agreement on it, but I think that we should start, you know, rating our people. I mean, we pay, you know, lots of money to these people, and are they performing as they should? I mean, if you had a home contractor and he wasn't performing, what would you do?
Fire him.
Well, do you not think that's our responsibility? I mean, we're spending, you know, $200,000 a year on outside services, fees and consultants, and, you know, and it's like, I think that, you know, this has gone on. I've been pretty well involved with the pension since it started in 2000, and I started coming to meetings regularly, I think it's back in like 04, 05. I mean, I started coming just to attend because I knew that I really cared about it. And I haven't seen these go out there, and I think every once in a while you should do, you know, a sanity check. Are we getting the best shape for what we're paying? Even with our, you know, our legal side. So I'm thinking that, you know, our responsibility is to the plan, and we should look at this stuff a little more often. I mean, it's just gone since 2000. I mean, nobody has ever said, hey, it's Casey Rogers Siegel's giving us a, you know. And I mean, I know that they go out and they do a lot of researching, and I get approached from other type of managers, you know, or consultants that, you know, we could do. And I'm like, well, what do you, you know, what's your past history? You know, and I don't see anybody, you know, saying they can do a whole lot better than 6.77%. I mean, none of them really say it. So, I mean, she's in that window. Do we feel we're getting, you know, a fair price? Probably so. I mean, you know, does he respond in quick times? Not really. Does he need every one of our meetings? I mean, does he need to? No. I mean, like Rose, I mean, there are certain times that it doesn't work and we can do a phone conference. I mean, but when we pay for travel, and room and board and flights. I mean, you know, it's like those are things that we really should dig in just a little deeper. I mean, one meeting's no big deal, but when you look at four meetings, or in this case, we're going to have an emergency meeting, so now we'll have five meetings this year, and who knows if we have another emergency meeting pop up. I mean, we have those sometimes with, you know, disability things that we just can't keep putting off, or, you know, quarterly meetings. And we get charged. When Lee comes to a meeting, I mean, when Doug comes to me, we get extra charges for those kind of things, that we have to think about that kind of stuff. I mean,
well, we have fired somebody lately.
A money manager, yeah.
Well, the custodian,
right?
The banking,
So,
but that took forever, Bernie. We were having problems with them before 08. And think about it, we didn't get rid of them until 16. I mean, that's 8 years of us pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And I mean...
I take no responsibility.
No, 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 I understand.
I'm just saying, we're very deliberative.
Well, we're complacent.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's really it, we're very complacent, and we're comfortable that things seem to be working, but, I mean, if you all experienced the suffering and pain Alicia had to deal with the Bank of New York, I mean, it's just unbelievable, the crash she had to go through, you know, it's just...
Well, if I can put 2 cents in on that, because every year I get more and more bothered of how late I get your report out. And I think Alicia can concur with our asset team that we've got 12 money managers. We have to reckon, we not only collect information, we have to reconcile, but the holdup is not on Alicia's part. See, there's 2 sets of data we have to get. There's census data, and we right away have people combing through it, entering it in. That starts right away in October when Alicia sends it. We have to get all the financial from 12 different managers and have our asset team go through and then see if it all makes sense. Honestly, with a plan of this size, hundreds of millions of dollars with 12 managers, I get nervous, but I talk to my team and it's like we physically can't make it any faster if we're not getting all the financial data until after Christmas.
Well, in that case, do we ask you to rate our consultant that she's spreading us too thin, which makes it a hassle?
Well, it's not from Rose.
Well, but you follow what I'm saying. I mean, I understand that we try to balance money, but...
It's the actual managers trying to download their statements.
Yeah, but it's you telling us that if they're not giving you feedback in a timely manner, and with your experience with other, you know, cities, and are we spread too thin? Do we have too many money managers?
I mean, I think
yes.
Yes.
Honestly, yes.
But you've never sent that in a formal email to anyone.
No, well, I have. I believe that we have.
Yeah,
we have in the last 2 years.
I think with the new custodian, we may be on a path that will help that all the way around. I've had some discussion with Frankie.
Yeah.
That we're looking at just using Wells Fargo, now that they have mirrored accounts for all of our managers, even the ones that aren't, the money that's not held at Wells Fargo has a mirrored account. So they're getting statements, and they're giving us the statements by the 15th of the month. Real estate is always going to be an issue. So what we have done in the past is we cut real estate off on their statements that we get probably in October, November, that are actually for June. The actuary knows it, the auditor knows it, everybody knows that that's where we're cutting it off. It is, but it isn't. If we've had a capital call or some money's moved or something in there, we can usually add that in, because I have backup paperwork to show this actually happened. But we've been cutting them off in June. And then shoring everything up in October when we start our new spreadsheets. Because the statements for September do not come out until February or March for that asset class.
But at that point, the city's saying, where's our GASB? Where's our CAFR?
Where is everything? Why don't we have it?
So is that historical? We're always 6 months behind with numbers?
For the real estate, yes.
Just the real estate. Everything else?
So we like Alicia said, it is and it isn't. We can try to fill in blanks, but this is a big, complex plan, and was made bigger and more complex 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to do a dance here. Every year I get nervous in December and January because I know the city needs their information, and this is the last piece they need. But there's, up till now, we give you a summary every year because, is it Cynthia? Cindy's here? That's just information.
Right.
You know, that's just...
Well, and real quick history. I mean, Johnny, I don't think you were here, and Anthony, you weren't, Connie. When they started this variable rate plan, they commingled the funds. And believe me, I went all over legal and over tax base to make sure that they could legally do that stuff, which when you think about it, okay, now he's got to deal with people that have been here forever up till the freeze date in 2013. Everybody knew. Now we've got, you know, a couple hundred people that are still in this variable, and then we have several hundred that left. and he's got to do all these calculations. I mean, I feel for him, understand, and we're the only city that he has to deal with like this. This is definitely, but then I say, okay, well, you figured out the algorithm, so it shouldn't change. So that's why I'm beating up on him a little, just so you're all aware. But Doug and I have a relationship. He'll know if I'm beating up real hard or not.
Okay.
It's just, you know, I'm cognizant to all of the bull we got to deal with, all the anomalies that we can't control. And all the issues. And really, I mean, this is a smaller meeting. It was a good time to bring this stuff up before we actually go to our formal meeting. And I'm going to, you know, say, let's all vote. We should be doing, you know.
And the stress comes from the March 31st CAFR. That's the.
Well, and the CAFR for the whole city, so right. It's real important. Sure. Right.
Yeah. I want to get it out early January. I just know that if nothing changes, every year it's going to be March.
Yeah.
There's just nothing that can change unless something changes on the management side.
Well, if I could throw this in, you know, when you say too many managers, obviously part of our diversification are the number of managers. I think what needs to happen is, you know, when we're negotiating with these managers, as we do with them when we do a contract, we say, and we will have the numbers. As of such and such a day.
Right, because we look at them for performance. We don't look at them on the other financial side of doing the reporting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we'll sit down and talk to them about contracts and all, and I nail hard about what are they going to charge us with fees.
Yeah.
But we don't ever do the last part where poor Alicia and Doug have to deal with. It's like waiting for, you know, those yearly reports on the performance and the monies. And
So I'm in finance, and I understand reporting
right. Sure.
and when 1099s come out. And,
yep.
And so private real estate takes, it's not a publicly traded, you know, entity, and it takes a long time to value those assets.
You have to close, and they have to do their valuation,
right.
And then,
yeah.
Then the valuations go to the managers have to do their report, then we finally get our report.
Yeah, so we have a couple options.
Yeah.
Not have private real estate. No, right? That doesn't make sense.
Well, so think about, you know, the other side of this too is, as they froze the original plan, I mean, parts of being able to the whole big picture of this is that the city's liability to the plans is slowly going to diminish as people get older and retire and go away and die off, that they'll pay less money. And that's why, you know, they went to the variable and they went to the defined to try to reduce how much money they're paying to the pensions. But I mean, probably next year or the following year, Doug's going to come and say, hey, it's time to stop expecting 7%. We need to move down to a lower number. I mean, expecting a good number means good returns into the plan, but we're supposed to slowly, you know, reduce how much the city, I mean, if you look at what the city pays right now for payroll, it's huge. It's over 92% per.
Right. I think it's $14-15 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
15 this year.
Above payroll. That's just, you know, the pension piece of it. It's well.
Now, part of the problem here is having our numbers in sync when the city does their annual audit. Is that it? That they have this liability? What creates the timing? Why is timing relevant?
I need to get my numbers out before the Thanksgiving holiday so that Doug and them can get their numbers back to us, the valuation back to us, so that the valuation can be used in the city's financials. And their financials need to be done by the 31st of March.
Okay, so there it is, and that was my understanding. So, you know, not to complicate things further, but why don't we have 1 year, a short plan year, instead of the September, October, the first business, and get on a governmental fiscal, you know, maybe July 1 through June 30 or something to build in this. You know, I'm not trying to buy time that will then be casually looked at, and you'll still be looking at not getting this thing on time for the city, but by having that, then there would be no excuse conceivably for being able to provide the city with numbers by the time that they
I could be wrong, but I'm thinking we're working with stale data anyway, so what's it matter if we move it a month earlier to help you?
Well, I have a question too. We're only required by the state to do an actuary evaluation every 3 years. Do some cities?
But GASB has to be done.
GASB has to be done every year?
Every 2 years.
Every two?
So you don't necessarily want to.
Upset that.
Be a lame, you know, three in this and two in this. But then when you get, but if you go that route, okay, fine, it's like it's a nice sigh of relief for 1 year, and then the next year you've got to reconcile 2 years worth of information and try to make it all happen by March. It's the same situation, but maybe worse. I hadn't given any thought to the, you know, this year running it from 10/1 through June 30th, and then firing up to July 1st through June 30th. That's kind of rare. A couple of the bigger cities in the state have a January 1st fiscal through December 31st, but I don't see it that often, so I don't know practically. I suppose it could be done. But then we'd have to be in the process of getting another valuation fired up by July 1st this year.
Well, we're just asking if that helps. I mean, if that, we know all the data is old anyway. It's all stale data. So what does it really matter? And then you're delivering on time for the cappers, which is important to the city. And we're still doing our obligation.
Yeah. I suppose the next step would be to ask the city if they're okay with changing their measurement date.
The 31st of March?
Well, that evaluation would no longer be from October 1st through September 30th. That it would be, say, July 1st through June 30th or January 1st through December 31st.
But that would exacerbate things, would it not?
Because well, in the first year of transition, because let's say you wanted to make it July 1st, and Alicia has to now scramble to get this data from 10/1 through June 30th. We do evaluation, I come back sometime in the fall. But then I don't know how the city uses that. What are they going to incorporate in their CAFR then? Is it going to be that June 30th of this year for next year? So I guess the next step, if you wanted to go this route, is ask the city what would work.
So that's the real question, because we all know that the actual budget is really pretty much solidified already for going next year, which means anything he delivers today is still for 2018, it's not for 2017, not 2017-2018, it's 2018-2019, mm-hmm. where they take his numbers. I mean, so that's what I said, it's all stale data. So I guess that's a question. I guess, Alicia, if you want to ask Cindy what her thoughts are about that. I mean, it'd be nice to make Doug's life easier, but, you know, we're dealing with old news.
I'm not looking to make my life easier. It's hectic enough as it is. It's never going to change.
In this new world of reporting
and GASB, I'm always concerned about my clients. I mean, believe it or not, I look at each client as a client, separate from anybody. When I come in here, I've only got my Ocala hat on, and I've got multiple bells going off in my head all year long. It's like, Ocala's going to start wanting their stuff in February, along with, you know, the Cape Corals and the Winter Havens, and I know when all of my clients do it for 20 years. I know when everybody needs their stuff. And every year when the state comes in with new reporting and GASB comes in and triples, and these plans get more and more complex and they freeze and tier, everything, it's a multiplier effect. And I'm desperately struggling with how can I keep my clients getting their reports on time as in the past. And it's a big struggle. It really is. That's not an excuse, because you need your information by then. It's just everything's conspired to make it later every year. Except for Alicia's data. Her data is actually coming in earlier. But that's only part of it.
Wells Fargo statements, they were great this year.
Well, so, really, you know, I know it's a quick emergency meeting, but I think now's a good time that we're all brought up to speed on all the other things that, you know, we suddenly really invest a lot of time talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Doug's going to be real quick. These are the numbers. Boom, we're done, you know. But I figured this is a good time for us to talk as a board, just so we are aware of all this other stuff that goes on in the background. I mean,
Which, and additionally, I did talk to our CEO, I get him up to speed, as much as I think he needs to know. And I let him know, and I used the word Ocala in there, but I said, really, it's with our tier one, our big clients, we rank them. And I said, we probably need to get more people that are solely dedicated just to that. Because if we can even speed things up a week or two, then that is all the world of difference.
It is a big deal.
So I've actually already brought that up to our CEO and specifically used the word Ocala in there, to somehow reverse time and make these reports come out in February rather than March.
And obviously, if we get the managers in tow, all of that helps. Well, it doesn't help. I mean, it's what controls when you get the stuff
right
out.
And what we found this year was, even though the statements changed from the time I gave all of the information in November to the actuary to February, there was realistically only $79,000 in differences in the real estate. There's $124 million in the fund, so it really, I mean, it's pennies compared to what we were working with. So that's the difference between July statements, or June statements and September statements.
Yeah, and that's a point well made, and probably not too many years ago, we could sort of just wave your hands over it. But governmental accounting went from, you know, one or two pages to full reports. And these accountants, these auditors, you wouldn't believe the kind of questions they're beginning to ask. And they don't care if it's a $300 million fund or not. If it's $79,000, they say reconcile it.
Well,
we'd rather not be dealing with that after the city's booked it into their CAFR.
Yeah. If that CAFR number doesn't match what the auditors get from the bank as the last statement, and they have the luxury of pulling February statements after they've been changed instead of the other, if it doesn't reconcile, we have to explain why and this, that, and the other. Which, that's not a bad thing, as long as we can explain it.
Right.
Would that become a note on the financials, or?
Yes.
Well,
and management just doesn't like to see notes on the financials. They don't.
Yeah.
But, sometimes it is what it is. And they, you know, sometimes you have to, even though you don't like it, you have to accept it if you want the entire process held up or not.
Well, so you'll run that by Cindy. Yeah. We'll have an answer for our next meeting. And certainly invite her if she wants to come talk about it. But, you know, we're just trying to get stuff in time. And I think that's the solution. I mean,
and actually for the city, as long as it's the end of February, the beginning of March, that gives us about 2.5 weeks to get, you know, look at the different valuations
and
get them into the cash.
And to be fair to Doug, if we can't move it, then we just have to put the pressure. We need to sink a few more people on it, you know. And
that's where I come from.
That's him dealing with his management, right.
We know it's coming in March.
Right.
You have somebody ready to go when it gets here to put it in. Mm-hmm. It does take a day or two to, you know, go through the valuations and pull the different numbers, but...
Doug, you were talking about your client mix, and you were talking about Tier 1, and it sounds to me like Ocala is in that category.
Oh, we don't... I mean, it'd be nice to say we treat everybody the same, but we...
Well,
we know.
Well,
it's like you've got clients like this, and you've got a closed plan with three retirees. We don't treat them the same.
Yeah, so I guess where I was going with that was, where are plans in terms of your system, in terms of assets? Where, how do you group plans? What are the numbers associated with the tiers?
There's no hard and fast number. There's broad ranges, and actually we're growing pretty well. We actually run state plans now. We've got like the state Louisiana state teachers. We're doing work for New York City PBA. So those in the last 3 years have become, you know, that's the biggest tier. But if you talk about Florida governmental municipal plans, it's like, you guys are up there. You're big. And if you want to ask complexity, like plan complexity.
Right.
We're talking about.
And of course, all the.
That's not a good thing.
And of course, all the employees understood this during the change.
You mean his employees?
No.
Oh, us? No, no clue.
No, I was like, what's due this year?
Yeah, right.
I have no clue.
Before we even get started, what's new this year?
All right, well, I think we've beat this up enough. I just, you know, wanted to actually have an open discussion so everybody.
This is good.
Yeah, knew what's going on and what your obstacles are, how high you got to jump sometimes to try to meet our deadlines.
Well, this is all good, so ready to.
Yeah.
Dive into the report. Okay. You guys usually know where I like to start, right on page 5. That's. First place the city probably goes, what do we have to put into the plan next year? And then I work backwards. Then I'll tell you how I got there. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the right-hand column, that number has not changed. That's for the city's current fiscal year, 9/30/17 end. And that's $14.8 million. They can just budget that exact amount right there. For next fiscal year, that's the brand new numbers for you today, it's jumping up to $15.2 million. But there's a lot of moving parts in there. The first thing I will let you know is this plan did book an actuarial gain this last year, believe it or not. Your smoothing on the assets came in at 8.6%. We assume 7. I don't know, that's a 5-year average, so. That just recognizes that you have some, you know, more good years than bad, but we have some other good years in the past falling off in the next few years. So, but the fact that you're at 7, I mean, it's better than when you were 8 plus. Now, we remember the pain when the city passed the ordinance and said, you have to go to 7. Okay, well, that caused an immediate increase in city requirements, right? But at the same time, those extra contributions then got invested, and the last couple of years haven't been so bad. So that's why you booked an actuarial gain this last year. You did have some offsetting components of loss. Nothing new you're going to hear from me here. Earlier than expected retirements. You know, more retirements than we had expected. I don't know if the city's still laying people off at the end of each fiscal year, or they were for a while.
No, but they're still leaving. I ate last month. And that's a December or January number usually. So they're still.
Well, that's going to be reflected in our experience.
Even like crazy.
Rats are jumping the ship.
Yes, they are.
City looks like they actually gave salary increases last year. For the first time in a long time, the average came in above the long-term assumption. So that was a component of loss. But in total, you booked an actuarial gain for the year. So let me tie that in for you to show you where that gain came in. If you jump over to page 14, and I will try to avoid jumping around too much, just give you the big picture here, and we can dive into details as you want to. Here's the unfunded liability, and this does play a pretty big component with Ocala, because the ordinance, when everything changed 5 years ago, they require us to keep tabs on a corridor, you know, your funded status. And if the city's requirement falls outside of that, then the members either have to put in more or they get to put in less. And so the unfunded liability, the way it changes, is important. Mm-hmm. So it started the year at $93 million at the top. And just think of that, you know, as debt, just like you're paying down a loan. We had expected it to drop actually all the way down to $86 million under item 7. So that's substantial. I mean, we went to dollar funding. I said this will get the unfunded going down very quickly. So we would have expected over a 7% decrease from 93 to 86. But we had to adopt the new assumption, mortality assumption, that added $5.4 million back in. I gave you that study last year, so you already knew this in advance, but there it is. We did get an offset credit by beating your assumptions a total of 1.4 million. But still, in total, the unfunded liability drops for the year from 93 down to 90. If the state not mandated that, we could have been looking at more like, you know, 85 million or so. I guess something of good news is the city's requirement, regardless of what experience is, and starting in the next couple of years, should start going down. And the reason I say is that basically almost the entire component of the city's funding is for the unfunded liability. So if you look at the bottom, this whole schedule, these are all things that have happened in the past. And so the numbers that should interest you are the numbers with years remaining that are low. Because when those numbers expire, that means a portion of the city's requirement just disappears. It expires. It's like a payoff. So for example, if you go down to the towards the bottom where you see an actuarial loss from 08, and there's 2 years left. Mm-hmm. Well, that currently is a $1,394,000 payment. So no matter what happens with the plan in the next 2 years, when I come back in 2 years from now, whatever the requirements would have been, you can subtract more than $1.4 million because I had interest to it. That falls off. The next year, at the top, that's 3 years, there's a $245,000 payment, and towards the bottom, there's a $3.3 million payment. And then in 4 years from now, there's actually a small credit, again, that disappears, so the cost will go up a little bit. But in 5 years, $861,000 payment falls off. So you can run this out anytime you want. You can sort of do like a little five-year projection. But what I'm optimistic about is that in total, in the next 3 years, we're looking at probably close to $5 million in city contribution falling off. So if you remember back on page 5, the number I showed you is the city's requirement of $15 million. Well, when I come back in 3 years from now, I don't know where that $15 million will be, higher or lower. My guess is it should be lower. Okay, even if you don't exactly hit all your assumptions, this plan's closed, and so the requirement should be coming down. You very well could have a third of that $15 million just gone. The city very well could be under $10 million within the next 3 years. Okay, so, you know, it was a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that was one of their points. You know, they wanted to, they completely control the fine contribution and know exactly how much they put in as a percent of pay. This was the big variable. So you close this off, and yes, the costs immediately go up, but eventually there won't be any more requirement for this plan at all. Now that's many, many years down the road. But in the short term, the city could have a pretty substantial drop within the next three valuations. Okay? Questions thus far? I know I'm going to like to give it to you in chunks.
I just assume the unfunded also reduces just the stress, just kind of on the same scale, right?
Yes. So let's talk about a change that happened in the last year that was to the city's benefit. If you go over to page 11, this is just one of these features of Ocala General that we have to remind ourselves every year. When I was here last year at this time and I told you what the city's requirement would be, it's the far right-hand column, that $15.3 million. But if you remember what we just looked at in page 5, you said, well, no, wait, Doug, you just told us 14.8 for the current. Well, that's the number next to it. You say, well, what changed? We didn't see that 14.8 when you were here last year. That's because we have to run a corridor test every year. The ordinance says that the city, and we have to run this crazy test where we sort of combine the old defined benefit plan payroll with the payroll of people who are the defined contribution, total payroll. We take the city's funding requirement in total and divide it by total payroll, and it has to stay in a corridor. The GRS, when they came here as the city's actuary, ran out projections into the future. And it was like a road, and it was a road that went down like this, and you had a left side of the road and a right side, and so the city's contribution has to stay in that corridor, has to stay in that road over each of those years for the next 30 years, And if it falls outside, then let's say that it falls out to the bad, where the city's requirement goes up. The first thing that happens is the member, the multiplier drops for the old piece, or for the piece accrued after 2012. And after that, if that doesn't do it, then the members have to kick in more. Well, it was the worst case scenario when we ran the corridor test last year. Not only did the multiplier drop all the way down to the minimum that it could, which is 1% for benefits accrued from 10/1/12 and later, the member contributions jacked all the way up to the maximum. So that explains why the city's requirement went from 15.3 to 14.8. We ran the corridor test, delivered it to the city, and then but the valuation was already done at that point. So then we had to incorporate it into the results of this valuation. So if you're wondering, it's like, how many valuation reports, Foster and Foster, do you do where you see four columns? At most, it's usually three. But every year that we have an assumption change with this plan, we will have a four column, because we always have to do this corridor test. And so once you approve this report here, and actually that's one of the things I'll have delivered to the city in the next 2 weeks, is the updated corridor test. I've talked to our folks working on it, and I don't think the answer is going to change right now. I think it's going to stay at the 1% multiplier, and the member contribution is going to be maxed out. What I'm hoping is, as the unfunded drops off the next couple of years, that maybe the members can stop contributing so much into the plan. They just jumped up this last year. Okay. The other thing to look at here is, look to the column to the left, the 14.4 million city. The city actually would have had that contribution requirement for the upcoming year. It actually would have dropped. Except by adopting the new mortality, it went from 14.4 to 15.2. So the new mortality is costing $800,000 per year. And well, does that mean the city's out the $800,000 forever? And the answer is no. And you'll hear me say this again with the experience study in a few weeks. Assumptions are just that. They're guesses. We're guessing what the future will be. So right now we've been told that we have to assume people live longer. So we assume they live longer. That means they'll draw a check longer, because that's a planned benefit. And so you need more money to start going in now, right? Well, what if we said, no, we don't, yes, we know people are going to live longer, but we're just going to ignore it. We want a lower contribution requirement. Well, guess what? You don't pay now, you'll pay later. And you'll be paying more, because as people get to age what we expected them to pass away and they live another 5 years, you're catching up right then and there. Okay?
Money's not discounted.
Pay now or pay later, exactly. Okay? Here, at least you're getting some interest earnings on it. But let's pretend that the Florida retirement system of actuaries is completely wrong. People are not, in the city of Ocala, not going to live an extra 5 years or so. We're putting in an extra $800,000 a year now getting interest, and you're going to be getting gains back in the future. As I come year after year and say, we had more than expected retiree deaths. Year after year after year, and so you get the money back. So you've heard the term pay now or pay later. Assumptions have no impact at all on the cost of a plan. It's benefits paid out minus investment earnings. It's simply a guess. This is a conservative assumption. So what it means is that you're unlikely going forward to have many losses on retiree mortality. If anything, you're probably going to get gains, because this assumption is dynamic. Every year I come back, we assume people are living longer. When I come back the next year, we assume they're living even longer again. It's a perpetual, it's called generational mortality. So I don't want you to necessarily think that you're just throwing away $800,000 per year forever for nothing. If that assumption is correct, then that is the right number, and this is the right time to do it. But if it's incorrect, you'll get that money back down the road. When I say you, meaning the city. So, the update on the funded ratio, two pages back on page 9, it is growing. People might say, well, it's still low, but a year ago it was 55%. See that? With the corridor test, it went up a little bit to 55.6. without changing assumptions, it would have grown to 60.6. Now it's a nice increase. Assumption change brought it back to 59. So the net result is you're still 4 percentage points ahead of last year at this time. And so it's working nicely. On average, that funded ratio should go up about 2 percentage points here. You still went up 4 even after the assumption change. And if you want to say, well, gee, that's kind of low, Doug, you know, well, remember the thing that triggered everything was that the fund standard, when the city decided to go out and ask for their own review from another actuary, and GRS came back and said, you have the lowest funded status we've seen anywhere in the state, and I think it was right around 41 or 42%. So for the fact that you're up now to 59, it's going in the right direction. So, as Arnie said, usually my part on this is fairly in and out. The experience study will take longer because we'll dive in deep into each assumption. But I'll see if you have any questions on this right now. If you want to dig into any particular item, I'll be happy to do it.
Is there an average for like a funded status?
They've been improving nicely around the state. I'd say on average now these plans are well into the 80s. Some are, many are into the 90s. But remember, part of the reason that you really took a hit is when you were mandated to go from 8 to 7% on investment assumption. Most plans phase in, like over a 5-year period, you go 50 basis points. You took a 100 basis points hit like
but
that.
The impact of that was double digit, wasn't it?
Yes. So that explains a lot of the reason why you're still, you know, had you still been around the 8%, you would have been probably closer to 70 at this point. So that explains why you're still looking at, you know, like close to 100% payroll requirement on the old plan. Just all the things that went in.
Did the city realize what was going to happen?
Yes.
Well, they knew it was going to go up, but they don't really know how it was going to go up.
I think they did. I think they were fully aware of it.
Almost 100% payroll?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the corridor tests shows what they expected it to be. So, yeah.
I'm just wondering when they were, you know, when the general discussion, we got to get out of this unknown liability,
no,
you know.
They were aware.
And then it wasn't, whoa, it was like they knew it was going to be a substantial.
Something Rashad didn't know was that we know that everybody was going to jump ship on us.
That's the part they didn't know, probably.
Right. Yeah.
They probably thought a portion, not the amount that actually did.
Yeah, right. So a huge amount of talent, too.
And whether it was attributable to this, I can't say definitively, but logically you can draw your own conclusions.
Yeah. They were willing to spend the money to get out of the
pool. Yeah.
I remember seeing the curves. They knew it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember also, and I'm saying, did they really know?
Well, they knew it was going to cost them. Yeah. They knew that the long run is eventually, you know.
Yeah.
But that's
also why we flip from saying that it's 100% of payroll to giving them a dollar amount.
Yeah, we made that change last year.
Yeah.
And I recommend it's like, it's pointless to fund as a percent of payroll when payroll's going down.
Yeah.
So that has a big thing. Your decision, you made the decision on going to dollar. I mean, I advise, you probably would not take my advice, but that has a big piece, reason why the unfunded is going down quickly. I mean, your funded status should start going up fairly nicely going forward.
This past year, I can tell you that what the contributions that are coming in are just about equal to the expenses that are going out this year. Prior 2 years, I kept having to go back to Rose, and we were pulling from principal.
Right.
So, you know, it may not be going in to be invested, but there's no more coming out to cover the expenses. We're
treading water instead of drowning.
Yes. What's in there is at least staying in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just so you know, it's like I ask Alicia and I see this stuff. I mean, how much we pay out to retirees every month. And I mean, you know, it's huge. I mean, we're
right at about a million.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when it was like $750,000 a month, and now we're closer to a million a month we're paying out to retirees. I mean, you know, and I always question when you get one or two of these. I mean, we still have a few in the drop that have some sizable amounts when they, and I'm like, we got money for that, you know? Because I look at that stuff too. I mean, you know, our biggest hitters, I think, are gone now, right?
Yeah, our biggest hitters are gone. Yeah. That, you know, and now if you're in the drop, you're only earning 0 to 3%, and it changes every year. So
the primary reason for a drop is to be able to defer, not create a tax problem for that person by having to take down the pension and salary. You know, so you know, and so back to that. I mean, but it was ridiculous to be paying. I mean, what was being credited?
You could either do with the plan.
No, I'm talking about in the old days. What was it?
6%.
6%, or with what the plan was earning. Yeah. You could do both. And there were a couple that did what the plan was earning.
Yeah, no risk and 6%.
Well, Bernie, on the other side, I climb on my soapbox because there's no accountability. So somebody goes in the drop and they still don't transfer knowledge before the guy leaves.
No. Mm-hmm.
Which still, I get infuriated about it. It's like, you know he's going. He already resigned.
Yeah.
He's now in the drop, and you still don't make him, you know, do all the documents of what his daily procedures are, what he does. I mean, there's no transfer of knowledge, and that just drives me crazy because, you know, it's kind of like, I want to beat up on him. I mean, he's getting older. What's going to happen when he decides he's done working?
Does he have a succession plan?
No, none.
Yeah,
and they all, for us, that's huge to think about.
The police board asked what his succession plan was, and he told them they did not have one at the last meeting.
He plans to work into his 70s or 80s, I mean, but his health is not the greatest. I mean, so what's that do to us as, you know, as a board? If one day, you know, his daughter calls and says, you know, Dad had a heart attack, he's done working. You know, what does that do to us? Because you look at our process, how long it takes us to move and get things accomplished. Even when we, you know, call for emergency meetings and all, I mean, you know, they're still going out to bid, posting on the streets, getting it all in and reviewing it and choosing, you know, and it's a huge process.
So it's just the only lawyers in that firm are what, still just he and his partner?
He's the only lawyer.
Jim and his partner, but that's it there.
So, like you say, there's no one.
There's no one to succeed him.
Except his partner, who would be taking us on.
And his partner is just about the same age, isn't he?
He's a little bit younger.
But he's right up there. I mean, so we're kind of doing ourselves a, you know, disjustice if we're not at least thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like our plan is simple.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, so I used to tout about leaving, you know, right up there on top of understanding all of, you know, the state rules and all, but there are others. And, I mean, so none of you were here when I climbed on my soapbox and I lost because I didn't have a good cohesive team, but he gets 3% raise every year.
Four.
4%.
Since 08. So did he certainly have...
That's the contract.
But don't you have to perform? So
now you know why I'm asking for report cards.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, do any of us get a 4% guarantee? I mean, even the union guys, right? They don't get that kind, you know. I know electric gets 3% a year, but, you know, it's like,
I don't believe in that.
Who did he negotiate with?
Nobody. He just brought it and everybody said, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
And Arnie lost that day.
It was me,
so.
This was DB, I think.
Yeah.
Or Bernie.
Right.
I don't remember.
Right, but you know, that's what poor Bernie. Right. But yeah, it's like, you know, so I think that, you know, if our responsibility is the plan, not the employees, but the plan. And are we doing the plan justice? I mean, you know, so that's my soapbox I'm climbing on today.
I have one.
Think of that before the next meeting, and then we can, you know, continue. But, you know, it's, and just so you all know, that lady over there is going to be leaving soon, too, as I am, too. I mean, I've already told them, August of 2020, and I ain't coming back. I mean, I already have a city manager. Will you come work as a consultant? I'm like, how am I going to consult you when I'm out in Washington or Oregon or California? I mean, I've got the whole West Coast and the center of the country. I mean, my plans are to travel while my health is still good.
So are mine, so.
So.
You don't have a computer?
So you know, I run an IT, right? So I know all about internet. And one thing I hate to touch when I get home is a computer. You know, it's like, my life is all about internet.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I could care less.
At home, it's the recliner.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like, I do a little social networking and, you know, and chill. I'm a multitasking fool at work. When I get home, all I want to do is put my feet up. So, yeah, I already have plans for my retirement. I mean, I watch people retire. They don't have any goals or, yeah. You know, and they drop dead.
Correct.
And people ask me, well, you know, you run around 110 miles an hour. What are you going to do when you retire? It's like, I have a lot to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so my succession is, you know, in 3 years, I'm gone. Elise is a little bit shorter than that. And that one over there doesn't speak very much. She's going to be, you know.
Have you got a date in mind, Alicia?
Well, I'm looking at my 25, but, you know,
subject to change.
Subject to change.
Her husband's health,
depends on what the environment is.
Yeah.
Sure. All that. Sure. You know.
It does. You'll have your 25 in like a year and a
next August.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, so my 25 is in July of 2020. So. And I'm 65 years old in July of 2020, so it's like...
Kind of perfect.
Right, so I'm gone. I mean, you know, it's just the numbers work out. So, you all know, in 3 years, I'm gone.
And I'm not coming down on Alicia now, but just as a matter of explanation, and I'm trying to find the page. When we're trying to recover these overpayments to retirees, how does that happen?
Overpayments
yeah.
to... retirees. Depends on the situation. We don't currently have any.
I thought I saw something in this thing about.
In the evaluation?
Yeah.
There was a, I believe it was like in 2004, three or four, there was something with the mortality table, there was an incident with a mortality table, and we used to do our own calculations. The male and female columns got switched. So when the calculations were done, they weren't done correctly. So we went back and found out how long. There was about 30 retirees that had calculations done wrong. A couple of them came to the board and got estoppels, which meant they could keep their payments.
Yeah.
Others did not. So what the city wanted to just consume that, and they couldn't by ordinance. The retirees have to pay back any overpayments.
So it's just a reduction in what? Yeah.
We actually pay them their normal and then take a deduction, but they spread it out over 30 years because that's as far as they can amortize it. Most people pay 20, 30 cents to a dollar. I think the highest one may be $2 or $3. It's not very much. And as they die, it just
disappears.
Right
off, yeah.
But yeah, that is spread out. They've spread it out for as long as they could so that it wouldn't damage
them. It's not really current, what I'm looking at. It's an amortization.
Yes.
So while Doug is here,
yes.
And we know we had a few
that is why Doug
unpredicted retirees. How is your spreadsheet working that he's provided to you? I mean, is it still within a plus or minus a couple percent?
It is.
I mean, we know to get a final number, we got to go to the actuary. But when somebody asks, I mean, you can get them in a ballpark range.
In a ballpark,
fairly,
we can get into the ballpark.
Reasonable.
Those that have...
You know, people go to Elise and they try to work numbers and they ask for up front.
It's hard to give them estimates, so we send the estimates over to Foster. You know, because the spreadsheet doesn't like just 2 or 3 years.
Well, yeah,
but that's
because
just
that
a,
multiplier changes.
Right.
You have to make it go back to 12 every time it changes.
Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't like to do the reduction rate or something like that. But and that's just because the plan is
what it is.
Right, it's just she's gotten so many requests, we finally beat up on Doug to get her some sort of a, an active spreadsheet that's, you know, within relative accuracy. I mean, we tell everyone when you retire, if you want an exact number, we have to go to the actuary, but she can get them within a ballpark of, you know.
Request from employees, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, you know, Anthony, you're still kind of young, but as people get up to my age and all, it's like, we're kind of curious, do I want to retire at 62 or go to 65? And at 63, I have a bad meeting, and I go run up to her, I said, okay, what if I'm ready to pull the trigger right now, you know, because once you do and start moving, you know, there's fees for, you know, getting that exact number right away, and.
Have you seen what Randy puts out pretty much every year for the employees?
Yes.
Pretty good number, and I've been getting it for.
Right, but I mean, it gives you a good idea, you know, what to expect, you know, it's, I don't think the last time we did a number is when we.
Yeah, Doug does one for the rent, for the general employees. Yeah, the general plan is just a little more complicated than.
Well, there's two plans now.
Yes, the members.
Yeah, those should be.
They only come to the DBVH employees, which is crazy to hand out now.
Not to mention, people have moved around to apartments, and how do you get it to them?
Yes. So it has become quite cumbersome to get it to the employees, but. I do have one more item on the agenda since we're.
Go ahead.
Have some time. Arnie, we have you as the chairman, and Bernie, I have you as the secretary, but this board does not have a vice chair. And I don't know if you want to continue as secretary or would like to put your hat in the ring for the vice chair. There are not.
I can tell it's based on seniority.
Nominate somebody.
No, you can nominate somebody. There are actually. Usually the vice chair fills in for the chair when he's not here. Other than that, maybe a signature or two here or there. And then the secretary signs a few things here and there.
So
neither one is cumbersome.
While we're talking, Anthony, what is your plans? I mean, are you going to go over to the fire board, or are you going to stay on the general employee, or you don't really know? You're just.
I don't really know. It's been a great introduction to it.
But I don't know if you have a plan that, you know, we know Randy's leaving. If you're thinking maybe, you know, as a firefighter, you want to deal with your brothers and move over to that plan. I mean.
Yeah.
Or is that too much of a headache? You don't want to
do it. Almost seems like it's too close to home.
When is Randy? Is March? I think March of next year.
Which is
has a wealth of knowledge that
nobody's wanted to step up and look. Yeah. I mean, he's now, had a few that have.
Randy does a little bit more hands-on than say Arnie, and definitely the police chair. But I mean, each board is different. Yeah, they will.
Well, and it's something, you know.
I definitely want to get some, you know, more time on this board and then more education.
I'm not pushing one way or the other. I was just kind of curious, you know, if your intent was maybe, you know, to try to go deal with, you know, the bargaining unit over there or not. Right. You know, it's probably safer and less headaches for you to stay here. As you and I know a whole bunch of those guys in the bargaining unit, you know.
That's phone calls for sure.
But, I mean, you know, as you heard me clearly say, I'm leaving in 3 years. We need somebody to step up, and I think I make a point of trying to bring all the little anomalies to everybody's attention so you're all aware of what goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, and as Alicia said, I don't keep my fingers totally on top of it like Randy does. I mean, Alicia and I and Jessica, I mean, we have conversations. And
he has even started pulling back. I mean, he's definitely delegated more and more towards it.
And I guess if I were to come with the problems of the Sunshine Law, is if I were to become vice chair or take vice chair, however, I guess it's by election of the board.
Oh, we just, yeah.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, that's rule right there. The problem that you have with Sunshine Law is you really can't provide tutelage.
Well, only, only in meetings.
It's gotta be in meetings.
In meetings, or it's you going to Alicia, and of course, you know, I try to make sure that Jessica's involved too, because she's still learning a whole lot too. I mean, Alicia has a, you know, a whole lot of knowledge that she's trying to share. That's why Jessica's running the meetings now, so she can hear more and more what's going on. But I mean, there's a huge transfer of knowledge of what's going on in two pensions now. And at least with ours, you know, we seem to be flowing okay, but, you know, I'm really concerned what's gonna happen with fire if they don't have somebody step up and start learning and, you know, what are they gonna do with that plan? I mean, they could dump it to the city. I would hate for them to try to commingle it to the general. I mean, we're a board, they could dump it to us. You know, I hope that wouldn't happen, but, you know, it's, so there's anomalies going on. I mean, police has a few that still are involved, but I mean, some of their key elements are leaving too.
Yeah, Dale has been there and won't be there too much longer.
Yeah, Dale has been
once that happens, that will
bring more burden onto these two. And of course, I say two, but we know it's, you know, that's going to change too. So more than anything, you know, it's really just enlightening you of all the other.
No, it's a great point. It's something to start thinking about.
Well,
that timeline's happening really fast.
Well, like I said, you know, it's like if she's talking 2 years and I'm talking 3 years, I mean, you know, you blink your eyes. That's only 8 meetings before all of a sudden the dynamics here change. And we have Jessica who's still trying to learn, and then we're leaning on her 100%.
Right.
You know, and is that fair to her? It's like, you know, and it is what it is. I've already laughed at her a few times, you know. And, you know, she's got a younger family to deal with. And, I mean, Alicia takes a lot of this stuff at home and, you know, deals with it, which, you know, I yell at her at times, but, you know, it's just, you know, she's got a family to deal with, too, you know. It's not that Alicia doesn't, but hers are older.
Yeah.
You know, and those are different, you know, factors of the whole dynamics of what goes on here. So, I mean, I think it's really been a good meeting. I mean, everybody's eyes are open. We're all, you know, a little more knowledgeable of what's going on. And
nuances.
Yeah, I mean, anything else, Alicia?
Do you have a nomination for a vice chair?
Well, you mentioned it.
No? Nobody's interested? Swing it.
Well, so Bernie almost implied like he's willing, so
that's
are you going to become the secretary then? Because then he has to leave.
Of course you have been that. That was strange, but because you have been acting, as I remember that last time.
Oh, I called her and I asked her. I said, "I'm going to miss this meeting. Do you mind trying
to
run?"
So I said to myself, "I guess I've been replacing."
No.
And you know what? It was an eye opener to her. Don't you ever do this
again? Okay, I'm like, wait, what?
but I think it's good that, you know, it's like, if any of you want to run it, I have no problem stepping down. I'm not going to go away, but you know, it's like. So once in a while, you'll see me try to even pull back Bernie, because Bernie sometimes gets up on his soapbox, and it's like, dude, we still got a meeting. We got more stuff to cover. And as a chair, those are things you have to do. You have to control the meeting. You know, and I think I do okay. I mean, you know, it's
quite except fun. For today.
Well.
But that was
short meeting. Look,
that was the purpose. That
we're here an purpose. Hour, and we're ready. It's already closing, you know. Yeah. So today was a good day that we could talk.
Yeah.
As an open group and discuss a lot of things that, you know, in a normal meeting, we just don't have this kind of time, you know, to have these kind of lively discussions about what's going on and questions and answers. And
did they answer your question, though?
No, not at all.
Bernie, didn't you throw your hat in?
Say what now?
Didn't you throw your hat into the ring?
That I was.
So you can be the co-chair and fight for more vacations.
Yeah, I mean, if everybody is comfortable with me, and so many times the chairman turns out being the senior person, if you follow what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And so I guess I'm the next senior.
So years and years ago, was Stan the senior guy? I mean, because he wasn't even a city employee, but was Stan the senior guy?
Stan was the chairman. He came in as and was elected the chairman.
But was he the senior of everybody way back when?
No, Diane was the senior.
Yeah, Diane's always been the senior.
Yeah, Diane was the senior.
But then, was it Jay who was next? The seniority, or?
Jay.
I mean, I know Stan's been in for a while.
Stan was there for a while, and that board had more or less been started in 2000.
Right.
Together. But yeah, Stan was the, until he left, and when he left, you took over.
Right. And I just...
And you weren't the senior when you took over.
No.
The other board members just did not want to be chair.
And I had no problem stepping down. Do you want to run?
No.
Or wait a little while. That's okay. But you know, I'm going to stay involved because it involves me when I retire. That's why I got involved. That I really am concerned about, you know, my future and where this plan is going. That's why I got involved. It's all about me. I mean, I have a few employees that came and thanked me. And I said, you're welcome, but really it's all about me. That's why, you know, I've implemented and asked for things and things have changed, and some for the good and some for the bad. I mean, but...
And Arnie and Connie's position can change on a whim with an election, so...
Yeah. So, unless the city council decides to remove me, I'm more stable in a way than the...
Well, I'm really on a personal side how stable you are.
Yes,
I'm with you. I'll
nominate.
Yeah, if the board would feel comfortable with me as vice chair while I learn the ropes, considering that that would then move perhaps to chair, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
We're seeing a lot more of, we'll wind up communicating more in terms of, since I can't communicate with him directly, it'll be a bifurcated conversation.
Yeah.
That'll work. Doug's writing this down.
Ernie being the vice chair, now we need a secretary for the board.
I
don't mind doing that at all.
There we go. I nominate.
I don't mind that.
We're all Kaylee.
Yeah.
Aye.
There we go.
All right. Jessica. Guy.
Yeah.
Good deal. Anything else for this meeting?
You need to approve the report.
Yeah, all right.
If you're good with that.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's why we're here, right?
Accept the report.
So I take it there will be no other business at our next meeting, pretty much, other than...
No, he's going to come in with the experience.
That's what I'm saying. That would pretty much be...
Well, other than if...
SBS is coming.
Yeah, if Sydney agrees, then we can give some Doug direction that, you know, it's like, let's move from June to July. And I don't know if Cindy's really going to agree to that because, you know, it deals with some more stuff. But, you know, Doug's already offered that he's taking to his senior, you know, that they want to throw some more people at the calculations, you know.
SBH manager is scheduled to come in.
Okay.
And bringing up Rose,
yes.
And I don't know if you brought it up, but that should be our liaison to the managers in terms of...
Yes.
They need to get their act in order in terms of providing.
If there's anything she can do to lean on them.
Yeah.
So the only other thing that, you know, I discussed is, you know, it's like, should we go out and look? I mean, you know, it's an RFP to do this kind of stuff for legal, for actuary, for, you know, managers and advisors. I mean, I know we get complacent and it's easy just to keep going with what the norm is.
Well, shouldn't we grade them first?
Johnny, I agree with you. So that's why I said we should start, you know, evaluation reports on everybody and have open, you know, discussions. So, you know, like Doug, I mean, you know, he's the only one I can use for an example today, but, you know, I beat up on him a little bit and he gave us some answers why some of these, and we're trying to formulate, you know, a workaround, but I mean, Doug's always been able to come present, and I mean, I think the greatest thing is he's able to bring it down to a level of anybody in this board to understand what he's actually presenting. Because the bottom line, it goes up to the city, and they just say, hey, pay out $14.8 million. I mean, because that's, it used to be a percentage, and I said, nah, I think a number makes a whole lot more sense, as Doug did. I mean, you know, it's like, because there's less employees, there's some he stated got raises, I got 2%, and guess what? It went right to the pension plan. You know, but there are some other people who got more than that 2%, and he knows that, but you know, it's, some people got some raises, some did. But it still affects the numbers.
So as far as the report card is concerned, is this something that you're gonna put together, or is it something that's already out there that we just need to utilize?
I kinda asked Alicia to go out and survey several other cities of how they do it with it, you know, if every couple of years. And I don't know if there's any ordinances that every so many years we're supposed to go out there and, you know, get our pulse taken to see if we're, you know. It's very easy to become complacent. You know, things just work. We don't care. I mean, Lisa says that, you know, the money coming in is paying the bills going out every month. You know, it's like, so we're happy and fine. Doug comes in and gives us numbers. We're happy and fine. Rose comes in and says, hey, you know, this money manager isn't really performing well. Maybe we should put him on watch. And we all just agree. And we move on. And the next, you know, next meeting she brings him in. So we tell them. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed how long it takes to get rid of a money manager. I mean, we pull him in. We tell him, hey, you're being put on watch. The next meeting, you know, it's like, what are your performances? And then we say, hey, let's go fire him and go out. And when we have quarterly meetings, the next thing you know, a year has gone before we have really started engaging with looking at another company to replace this one we're going to fire. And I know some of the other boards act a little bit more responsibly. Responsive. They're a little more reactive. Randy's really quick at, you know, it's like, I want to get rid of him, bring in someone else. You know, and we don't do that. I'm just throwing it on the table. I mean, you know.
Well, there may be calls to special meetings.
Right.
To deal with those issues.
And I know special meetings, you know, because you're outside, you know, we have to formulate, you know, meetings with you guys. We're here all the time, yeah. You know, unless I'm on vacation. But,
yeah.
So, you know, special meetings are sometimes an obstacle. I mean, not to the managers. I mean, they just have to show up. We don't really care how, you know, much of an obstacle it is to them, but.
Well, correct, and I think most of the managers realize what our process is here.
Right.
You're to get rid of them.
Extremely slow. We are not reactionary.
Yeah. And if they discover that they could be out of here,
right,
between two meetings, you know, that they may become more responsive to things.
Well, at least, you know, keep us more informed of what's going on and why there's issues. I mean, I can certainly tell you, you know, Rose, she'll call me and tell me if there's anything changing with her company before I can ever hear about it. She's already calling me and telling me, you know, this person left who's after this, we're getting ready to buy this company, you know, things going to change. I mean, you know, all the years I've been working with her, I mean, we've had several calls about things changes with her company. And just so you know, we're probably one of her smallest accounts.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You look at, who is it, National? It's like $6 billion or something. I mean, we're only 100 and some million. I mean, you know, that's a sizable difference.
We're tier three.
maybe four.
Yeah.
Just, you know, food for thought. We have nothing else. Motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
All right. We're good? Stop the recording.